There's a gentleman on the line to me now who has just recently been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I'm delighted that he's found the time to join us today. Welcome to the programme, Justin Hayward.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Gary. Lovely to be with you. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever spoken to anybody who's an inductee of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Everybody I've spoken to sort of give me a blank expression and say, I thought they were already in it. It took a while, didn't it?
Yes, I think we're eligible for something like 29 years, yes. So it's a very, I must say, it's a very odd committee that decides all of this stuff. It seems like it should be a fan vote and a popular vote, and that's the way, of course, it should be, but it's not. It's by a committee of some industry people, and that whole thing is even odder when you get to Cleveland and you actually are in the company of some of these people. You realise, well, I'm not surprised they didn't indict us. They have a rather different view of what should be in there, but never mind. It's great, and I did I'm doing some American solo gigs in a few weeks, and I was doing an interview yesterday for somebody, and it was at one of those morning shows, and he said, "Now we've got Hall of Famer Justin Hayward." Oh yes. Sounds like something out of basketball.
Yes, that's right. Well, you got there in the end. I mean, this solo acoustic tour, it must be a very different experience for you on stage in an intimate venue to the things like the Red Rock gigs that you did with the Moody Blues.
Well, I've done all of that, you know, and I love the Moodies. I mean, I don't know how long it's maybe it's over now, I don't know. We've got one more thing in Vegas later this year. But the spirit is willing with the Moodies, but I think the flesh is a bit weak.
Yes, I mean...
My acoustic tours are really what I've always wanted to do. I went to see... When I was young, I went to see Simon and Garfunkel. In fact, I saw Paul Simon in not far from my hometown in Swindon, And it just grabbed me sort of magically. And then I saw Gordon Lightfoot as well, and Tim Hardin, and all of those people I used to go and see in London in small venues. And all of these years later, I finally got to where the doing the kind of thing that I think I was always meant to do, delivering these songs acoustically, in the way they were written, with a couple of just brilliant, brilliant musicians. I mean, I'm with a young boy called Mike Dawes, who you would never see anybody play the guitar like him. It's just astounding. Me and my guitar tech took him aside in a sound check the other day, and we said, "Can we just stand in front of you, about 2 feet away, and watch how you play and how you do that?"
Really? Yeah.
And then we got to the he got to the end of this song, and my guitar tech said, "No, I still don't get it." And I said, "No, nor do I." So I was eight, and I don't know how he does it.
Really? And I noticed on the All The Way album, an interesting version of Blue Guitar with 10cc. How did that come about?
Well, that is the version, because I was a director of Strawberry Studios in Stockport in the early 70s. And one of my best friends is Eric Stewart, who was then in the Mindbenders. Mm. And then he went on to form a group called Hot Legs with Lol Cream and Kevin Godley. And I just used to go up to the studio and mess around and stay with Eric. He had a lovely house in Cheshire. And one weekend we had some time, and I put down a couple of things, a couple of my songs, also with an instrument that Lol Cream was developing and Kevin Godley, called the Gizmo, which had a sort of, it was little wheels that revolved and hit the guitar strings, and it was a very made a wonderful sound. And probably Blue Guitar is the best place that you can probably hear it. It sounds like strings, but it's not.
Ah.
And so I recorded Blue Guitar with them, with Kevin on drums, Graham Gouldman on bass, me and Eric on guitar and Lol Cream on gizmo. And then it was in the can. Decca didn't want to release it because the Moody Blues was still going. So after Blue Jays, the album that I did called Blue Jays, the record company were scrambling for something to put out. Right. They said, oh, you did that thing before with the... So they got hold of the tape and they remixed it and put an orchestra on it. But in essence, it was just exactly the same recording. But I never thought it was as good. And then I knew the original Eric Stewart mix existed somewhere of the same thing, but without the orchestra and without the Decca mixing business. And I eventually found it in an old tape store. And so I thought, this is the place for it to be on the All the Way album, yeah. And it is a better version.
Excellent.
I mean, it's the same version and the same musicians playing it. Graham Gouldman on bass, Kevin Godley on drums, but and me and Eric. But it's better, you know. The original is always better.
Yeah. And I did read somewhere, I don't know how true it is, Days of Future Past was originally released to demonstrate the Dyramic sound system. Is that correct?
Yes, it was made as a demonstration record. They had a special products division, and they were trying to sell their consumer... They had a consumer division. They were trying to sell their stereo units to rock and roll people because they were confined stereo to classical music. Decca had the second largest classical catalogue in the world. And they needed to make a demonstration record that juxtapositioned alternately rock with classical music. And originally they wanted us to do Dvorak. Well, Peter Knight, who was doing the orchestral bits, came to see us at the 100 Club in Oxford Street and said, you're never going to get Dvorak together. There's only one good melody in the New World Symphony for you. So let's do it the other way around, your songs, and I'll do the themes from your songs. Yes, so it was released as a demonstration record, a budget price album.
Wow.
And then after a couple of months, they put it up to a full price, changed the sleeve, and then that was the beginning of the Dyramic sound system, yes, full stereo.
And set you off on a whole new career path in terms of musical style.
Well, it certainly did. And also, when we were brought to America in early 68, FM radio was just starting, and FM was terrible for those AM records that were made with sort of drums on the left and vocals on the right.
Yeah,
they needed something in real stereo to justify their effort, and Days of Future Past was perfect for that.
I noticed your early days were playing guitar for Marty Wilde. I was fortunate enough to interview Marty a few months ago. Did he give you, I guess it must have been a great grounding in the music business to be in his band?
It was a baptism of fire, and I could not believe it because I didn't know that I was only out of school for about 3 months. And I answered this ad in the Melody Maker. I didn't know it was for Marty Wilde, and I got to a house in East London, and blimey, Marty Wilde opened the door. And Marty's sort of 6'5", and I'm 6'2", and it was like, I'd never looked up to somebody in my life. But I adored him, and I still do. He's still my hero. And he taught me to, he gave me two wonderful things. He said, to survive in this business, you've got to write your own material. And he said, Justin, you should start writing now.
Right.
I was 17, and I did, and that's what brought me to the Moody's. The other thing he gave me was that I was in London then, in the early 60s, right in the middle, you know, when the Beatles were arriving.
Yes.
All of that kind of stuff. And it put me right in that London music scene, which was wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful stuff. Well, it's lovely to talk to you. The tour is at the Concord Club in Eastleigh on the 31st of May and Christchurch, I think, 2nd of June at the Regent. And you're in Stuttgart tomorrow.
That's right, yes. I'm in Frankfurt now. We were here last night and then we're just doing a little TV thing this afternoon. And then, yes, and then Stuttgart tomorrow, yes. We're having a wonderful time. We've been to... Denmark and Holland so far, and course, we come to the UK later in the month, yeah.
And USA, August and September. Great stuff.
That's right. Yes, yes.
Lovely to talk to you, Justin. Thanks very much for your time.
My thanks to you, Gary, and love to you, and looking forward to seeing everybody. And my pal Laurie McMenemy recommended the Eastleigh Club, so we're going to have a nice time there.
Yes, I got a lot of big artists there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Looking forward to it.
All the best, then.
Cheers, Gary.
Bye.